It's time for the VolQuest podcast, where we dissect the biggest news items of the week.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome into the VolQuest podcast. I am Eric Kane, alongside Austin Price, Rob Lewis, and Brent Hubbs. As always, a big thank you to our friends, our presenting sponsors of this podcast, that is Exterior Home Solutions. They've been local and trusted since 1999. If you need roofing, siding, windows, or a garage, contact Exterior Home Solutions today. A free estimate by dialing 865-524-5888, or you can visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Got a lot to get into here today. We'll welcome on George Stoya from Sooner Scoop at the back half of the show to get the inside perspective on who this Oklahoma team is. But, gentlemen, it's a big week. SEC opener. It's the first SEC game for Oklahoma. Josh Heupel's going home. We'll get to see this team on the road in a true road environment. Austin Price, big week coming up here for the Tennessee Volunteers.
It really is. I mean, you're exactly right. And, you know, rubber's going to meet the road for somebody. You know, Tennessee has looked fantastic through their first three games. Oklahoma, not as much. Tennessee and Oklahoma have played similar schedules. Nobody's played some world beater juggernaut at this point. But Tennessee's been able to, with an older team in some ways, young in others, been able to very maturely kind of handle their business, you know, even against lesser opponents, kind of do what they need to do, get in, get out, and move on to the next. So it will be interesting to see how Nico handles the road environment. You know, I think his kind of steady disposition, Hubs, tells you he's never going to be too high or too low, kind of like Hendon Hooker was. But until he plays in a game, we don't know.
Yeah, until he goes out there and does it, until this team goes out there and does it on the road, we simply don't know. So, of course, that's one of the looming questions for this week. That environment, Brent, should be, you know, top-notch. You know, College game day is going to be there. It's going to be in primetime, ABC. It's game of the week. Josh Heupel joked, and we'll hear from Josh Heupel here in a moment, but he joked that he believes that that stadium will be calm, cool, and collective out of respect for him and the program. He was obviously joking about that, but should be a really, really good environment, and how this team responds to that environment, I think, will tell us a lot about who they are.
Well, I mean, this is a Tennessee team that has done a good job in terms of pre-snap penalties on offense. They've been pretty efficient. Now, they haven't played in an environment like this, so how does it translate to the road? You know, I think a fast start there could be really interesting to see how the OU crowd reacts, because they've got some trepidation about their team, where they're at. Now, by the time they get to Friday, Rob, they'll be ready to go, and everybody will have it as an OU win if you're a Sooner fan. But, you know, that right now they're concerned about being able to make first downs and score touchdowns based on what they've done through three games. But it will be a good crowd. It'll be lively early, and we'll see if Tennessee, A, can handle that, and B, if they can quiet it down pretty quickly, because this has been a fast start in Tennessee team for sure.
Yeah, and we talk about that a lot. I know, Hubbard, you've got a million stats about, you know, first drives and first quarters and how good, you know, Josh Heupel has been in Tennessee has been since Josh has been here. And, man, I just think that could be such a huge advantage Saturday night. Like you mentioned, the trepidation. I mean, Tennessee fans have been there. I mean, Oklahoma fans are waiting for the next shoe to fall with that offense right now. I mean, they have not been good through three games, and they put a bunch of points on Temple in week one, but since then it has been inconsistent. I mean, Jackson Arnold has, you know, not just segued into that starting role seamlessly. You know, really, you know, looking at the numbers, I mean, the offense is struggling. I mean, I get where Oklahoma fans are coming from. I mean, Tennessee fans can certainly sympathize, but you know, you've got, it's funny, the parallels. I mean, you've got a hot shot, you know, quarterback. I mean, the same class as Nico, another five-star in that loaded quarterback class, and it has not gone smoothly. And it's not all on him. I mean, they've got offensive line issues, but I've rambled. But I think Tennessee's ability and tendency to start fast could be a huge, you know, bullet in the holster Saturday night.
Yeah, kind of on that note, Robin, when you're looking and breaking down that offense, and we'll get to the Heupel storyline here in a moment, but offensively, five new starters on the offensive line. They went to the transfer portal, brought in four offensive linemen transfer. Now they've been dealing with injuries with two of them on the offensive line. Two receivers who are going to play have not played yet this year, so they've been dealing with some injuries there. Jackson Arnold has made some mistakes at times, but he's kind of doing it all. He's been their leading rusher through three games. They have no run game. Javonte Barnes has got 126 yards, averaging a little over 3 yards a carry. You got Taylor Tatum, the freshman, that's looked about the best, but he hadn't gotten hardly any opportunities. Not a lot of explosiveness in that offense so far, Brent. And Tennessee's defense needs to continue playing the way it's played, and especially, you know, trying to smother in that run that really for Oklahoma, run opens up the pass. They've had no run game to help Jackson Arnold out to this point.
Well, Tennessee's given up three plays of 20 yards or more and through three games defensively. And one of those was a trick play by NC State. Another was a quarterback run on a zone read with the last line of defense. I mean, it was late in the fourth quarter when Tennessee gave up that play. So Tennessee's been good about not giving up cheapies. That's got to continue this week, and they've got to make Oklahoma earn it and drive the length of the football field and not give up anything cheap with a bust here or there. They've been good to this point with that. I mean, I think the other thing that's probably not been talked about a whole lot with Oklahoma, and we'll get into it on the back half of the podcast, they are breaking in a new offensive coordinator. And what they're doing is different than what Jeff Lebby was doing. Now, a lot of people are saying, boy, they don't miss Lebby. Look at Mississippi State right now. But with what Lebby was doing and the style of play they were running there versus kind of what some of the stuff they're doing now, it is different. And, you know, there's an adjustment period for everybody, and the injuries have not made it any easier. Tennessee's challenge defensively, just don't give them anything easy to get them going and get some confidence.
Yeah, don't give them short fields. Don't turn the football over. Don't, you know, if you go three and out and have to punt, let Jackson Ross flip the field for you. Don't give them 30 or 40 yard, you know, fields to drive, and, you know, make them drive it 60 or 70 on you. And if they do that, then they do that. But I mean, you know, don't, as Brent said, that's the recipe for success for Tennessee, in my opinion, is you're the better football team. Do not allow them to have anything cheap early to let them get some momentum.
You look at him defensively, Rob, and it all kind of revolves around linebacker Danny Stetsman. 33 tackles, averaging over 10 tackles a game. He's got 16 more than the second leading tackler for the Sooners. They've kind of got strength in numbers, not to the level of Tennessee, of course, but on the defensive front. Mason Thomas had 3 sacks against Tulane last week, but they've got a lot of bodies. Ethan Downs is another one. Deshaun Terry, who spent a season or two here at Tennessee, he's in the fold there in the interior defensive line. Front seven, pretty stout against the run. And the back end, you know, I mean, so far through three games, they've been fine, averaging 187 yards through the air. But last year, they weren't very great against the pass. However, Rob, very active in getting interceptions. I believe they had 20 interceptions. Their safety, Bowman, he had 6 interceptions. That was third nationally. They got some playmaking ability on the back end and certainly will present some challenges at times for Tennessee and Nico.
Yeah, I don't want to step on the first glance too much, EC, but I mean, they bring back a ton on defense. I mean, if this, you know, and not telling Oklahoma fans anything they don't know, but I mean, if they're going to win this one, the defense is going to have to show up. I think the number is they bring back 11 of their top 13 tacklers from last year. You mentioned Stuntsman, all Big 12. I mean, he's everywhere, you know, prototypical, you know, linebacker. Bowman was all Big 12 last year. And, you know, I don't think they were great pass rushing team last year, but they've got 11 sacks in 3 games. I don't know how much of that is competition or how much is real improvement, but, you know, regardless, it's easily going to be the best front seven Tennessee has faced without question. It was the best defense overall, but in terms of, you know, worrying about protecting Nico, challenge protecting Nico, that this is going to be the first weekend where I think you really, you know, worry about that. And that, you know, that's obviously going to be a very big deal.
Well, I'm curious to see, Austin, in this game, does Oklahoma think they can stop the run with a lighter box? Do they think that their front four guys can hold up against the run? They've surrendered 100 yards out of their first 3 games. Otherwise, they've held everybody in check. Tennessee's obviously running the ball great. How do they choose to play Tennessee's offense, I think, is going to be really interesting. What do they think they can do, and what can they really do against Tennessee's spread? Will be a storyline within this game in terms of how Tennessee tries to attack them. Do they try to put it all on Nico and stop the run and say, hey, young quarterback, you know, use this spread attack and go beat us? Or do they try to mix it up? How does Brent Venables play it defensively? I think it's pretty interesting early storyline in this game.
That's what I'd do. I'd put it all on Nico, you know, and you know, make him prove that he can do it. You know, I mean, which puts your guys out on an island, which means the Tennessee receivers and tight ends have to perform. But that's what I'm doing. And then if you have to pivot off of that, then you can pivot off of that. Because if Tennessee can continue to run the ball like they have been. It's just, I mean, it's a slow death for teams because Tennessee just eights and sevens and six, and you're always playing, you know, at second and short, you know, and that's a recipe for success for Josh Heupel on the offense. So, I mean, I would load it, tell Nico he's got to beat you, and then if he does, then you obviously have to pivot out of that, but at least that's how I would start the game.
We'll continue to get more of the Oklahoma scout from George Stoya coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes here on the VolQuest podcast. Heard from Josh Heupel on Monday, and obviously one of the biggest storylines nationally in college football this week, if not the biggest storyline, is Josh Heupel going home, right? Quotation marks on home. He won a national championship there, spent 9 years there. It's a big, big-time storyline, and you know, he was asked about that, obviously, by the media on Monday. Handled it really, really well. Give this a listen on Josh Heupel, what he's expecting going back to Oklahoma, the fan base, the game in itself, all that and more. This is Josh Heupel on Oklahoma from Monday's press conference.
Yeah, I had teammates and friends back there. They hit me up a little bit early. They were starting last week already. It'll be unique going back into that stadium. It's going to be a viewpoint. I'm not sure I've ever spent a day on the opposing sideline inside of that stadium, not even for a scrimmage. So it'll be different, but it's one that I'm really looking forward to. There's so many people that have been a huge part of my journey. That I get a chance to go back and hopefully get a chance to say hi to a bunch of them. You know, it starts with teammates. It's coaches that I had. It's a lot of coaches that I coached with. There's a lot of personnel that's still there. Guys that I coached, guy that was in my wedding. There's a lot of people back there that you know, I'm familiar with and have a lot of respect for. I'm good with any question about Oklahoma. You know, like the opportunity that I got, you know, from Bob and from Mike to come there and play, what we were able to build there in a short amount of time as a player. But then my coaching career from, you know, the guys that I played for to all the coaches that were there during my career all made a huge impact on me. And I wouldn't be here today at Tennessee if I didn't have all of those experiences. So tremendously grateful for all those people, and you know, Brent is somebody that, you know, I learned and grew from as a young coach so much, and a ton of respect for him. Should be a great crowd. It's a passionate fan base. I'm expecting them to be extremely quiet for us out of respect to me and our program too.
Josh Heupel, Monday's press conference on Oklahoma going back to Norman. Brent Hubbs thought he handled that pretty well. He's going to get asked a lot about it this week. He'll be asked about it in the SEC teleconference, maybe on Vol calls. Pretty good answers there on Monday.
No, it was terrific. I mean, tip of the cap. I thought he handled it great. And he was very comfortable. He was very conversational. It didn't feel forced. He was obviously prepared for it. But I think everything about what he said was very genuine and very sincere. And I thought he was fantastic. I was much better, Austin, than you and I thought it was going to be going into the press conference. I thought it would be a very short couple of sentences. Get out of this. Don't ask me about that again. Not being hasty, but just kind of one of those deals where I'm not talking about this. But I thought he handled the initial question really well. I thought he handled the follow-up question just terrifically. It was one of his, probably arguably his best press conference performance.
I thought so too. You know, just knowing Coach Heupel, you know, a little bit, you kind of know how he thinks and ticks. And, you know, he walked in there as Joe Cool as I've ever seen him in a press conference, because this is a guy that literally takes great pride in saying a lot without saying much. Right. And he was very candid and open, and, you know, I thought it was fantastic. And I think, you know, when his team sees his comments, it'll make them think, okay, let's just go play for Coach and, you know, have a good time. And, you know, to put it in Garth Brooks terminology, who's an Oklahoma guy, I think Josh Heupel, Tennessee wins this game. The theme out of this one is the song Unanswered Prayers, because he sees the old flame there, and, you know, glad he's not with her anymore.
It was a lot better than – I'm sorry. I just want to say I agree with you guys. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. I mean, I didn't think he would be rude or what. I just thought he would want to, you know, it's about the game. It's not about that. I mean, I think you had the best. It was conversational. I mean, it wasn't, it was just easy. And I agree. I mean, we're making a big deal out of it, but I think it's just because it was a lot better than any of us thought.
He worked so hard at being so dull and saying nothing in those things. It's a reminder that he could be really good in those things
if he
cares about them. He just doesn't care about them. But he cares about this one. I think that he's got so much respect for so many people that are still back there that he wanted to make sure nobody saw him as salty or, you know, he's tight or he's all of these things. I mean, everything Josh Heupel does has a bit of a strategy to it, right? Right, Austin? I mean, that's why we have the Elijah Simmons slow stroll during substitute. I mean, they don't miss a lot of tricks.
I laughed Saturday because you had the one player get actually really hurt and he didn't go out there. But you know, that's the whole he goes out there when they fake the injuries on extra points. He's the great healer out there to, you know, touch him and they get up. So I mean, like, yes, I mean everything is well thought out and very purposeful with Coach Heupel. He does not miss a beat to make sure that, you know, that everything is orchestrated.
He came across as very, very gracious and like the bit, you know, the bigger man, like there's no, yeah. He was completely non-confrontational and, you know, I think he could have been and gotten away with it, especially from the Tennessee side.
So if you're Josh Heupel, kind of how do you balance all that this week? I mean, you know, just like a player, whenever the whistle blows, go in there and, you know, obviously he's going to be trying to, you know, coach his heart out to win that game. I mean, I'm not saying that, but seeing all those people being back in that stadium, it's got to be a weird feeling for him, but also it's, you know, just put it behind you and go coach football for 60 minutes. It's got to be a wild weekend coming up for him, but it seems like he's approaching it the correct way.
Well, I mean, I think he'll obviously on Friday, he'll isolate himself. And as the week goes on, I mean, listen, if you had your to-do list out today or he had his notes on his phone, okay, Monday I'm going to get asked about Oklahoma. Got to be really good in my answers, handle that the right way, check. I'm going to get asked about it again on Wednesday on the SEC teleconference, check, and then we're done. I'm sure I'll get, you know, I'll have to have an answer for, you know, Holly Rowe on the sideline one more time. But by that point, I'm going to be clicking. Now, that answer will be very different pregame than the answer he gave on Monday because he'll be locked in, dialed in, ready to play. And, I think once you get past today, it becomes easier to deal with because you're back in your bubble, right, AP? I mean, you're in your cocoon of I drive from my house to the complex and back to my house. And it's all about football, scheming up first downs, trying to get a touchdown, trying to get off the field on third down, which is where he's most comfortable.
Correct. I mean, he just wants to coach ball. And so that's why, you know, it was refreshing to kind of just see him be laid back about this thing and not making a big deal. And, you know, I think that pays dividends coming up on Saturday because I think, you know, a lot of times your team mimics your head coach. And, you know, if he's loose, then I think the team plays loose. And obviously they know he'll never say anything to them about it meaning something to him. They will know it means something to him.
And, yeah, but I think it is important that he be as normal game week-like as he can. Older Tennessee fans, Rob Lewis, know what it's like when a head coach gets way too tight to play a particular opponent. You know, Coach Majors certainly had those issues with Alabama. You look at the 90, 91 teams for sure. I mean, those teams were better than Alabama and didn't get it done. You know, and I'm not picking on Coach Fulmer, but I mean, there was an open date year. They practiced on a Saturday during an open date, kept all the kids there for the weekend because he wanted to stay in rhythm for the week. And then there was the year that they went down a day early. They went down Thursday to Ocala to get acclimated to the heat. So those things were always very different than your normal schedule, and kids pick up on that stuff. And I think it's important for Coach Heupel to be steady Eddie. It's a regular game week. We're going to put the same focus in as we do every week to get ready to play. Nothing's bigger than this being the next game that we're playing. And it's against a good opponent in an SEC game, so it's really important.
Yeah, I think his attitude towards that kind of stuff is – I mean, it's hard to overstate how I think that bleeds over to the team and how – and I'm not – you know, I throw a bunch of stones at Butch Jones, but I think it's one of the biggest differences – in between Josh and Butch. And I think a lot of that probably comes from his experience as a player, you know, at the highest levels. I mean, not, you know, handling the pressure. But I think that's a big factor in how, you know, I don't think that's obviously necessary for a guy to be a head coach. And clearly everybody that was a good player is not a head coach. But in his case, you know, I think because his experiences, his background with his father, his own experience as a player, I mean, I just don't think the big moments get to him. In fact, I think he likes it. I mean, I think he loves it. And I think his players pick up on that.
And I think you're going back to his playing days, right, Eric? I mean, Teddy Lehman was on the Rocky Top Rewind on Monday, and he talked about just how confident Josh was as a player. Just, you know, the bigger the moment, the happier he was. The more pressure on the game, the more meaningful the game, the happier that he is. And I think any of us that's been around him, he'd much rather play in, you know, a conference game with ranked opponents than he would play what they played, you know, last week, or certainly in week one. He likes the big games. I mean, because as a player, I think he relished in the big games.
Yeah. I think he's just a guy that loves ball, you know, as a player and as a coach. And, you know, Teddy said on the Rocky Top Rewind that he was also, you know, he didn't say an awful lot when he was a player, but he kind of carried that moxie personality and that confidence. Then when he was a coach, he really didn't say anything. And I was like, well, at least it wasn't just here, because he doesn't say anything here as well. But I think Josh Heupel rises to the occasion and kind of enjoys all this. So obviously this week's coming up is a massive game for him. It's a massive game for the University of Tennessee. Tennessee 3-0, Oklahoma 3-0, both having college football playoff aspirations. And the winner here will, you know, take a big old step in the right direction. Of course, Tennessee, a road favorite at the time of this recording, 7.5 points in Norman, Oklahoma. And when we come back, we'll get more of the Oklahoma Scout from George Stoya over there at Sooner Scoop. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Game Time. You can download this Game Time app, and you put in the promo code ON3. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Promo code ON3 when you download the Game Time app to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. What is the Game Time app? Well, you can go to GameTime.co or download the Game Time app, and you can buy tickets to events in your area. Football games at Neyland Stadium, baseball games at Lindsey Nelson, basketball games at the Food City Center, all that and more. But concerts as well. Tennessee baseball smoky tickets in that new downtown stadium for next baseball season. Comedy shows, whatever's going on in your area, you can buy tickets to those events on the Game Time app. Plus, with the Game Time Pick, it's a new feature that makes buying tickets to see your favorite teams play even easier. Let you filter out all the fluff so you only see incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of different tickets. You got the Game Time or the all-in pricing, the lowest price guarantee, where Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, it's got the best customer service in the ticketing industry. That's all the Game Time app. So again, create an account, download the app, create an account, put in the promo code ON3. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee, and of course, want to get a word from our proud sponsors, that is Exterior Home Solutions.
Hey, Sterling, man, come on, we got a roof to replace.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Hey, Sterling, you ready to go to the top?
Man, I can't believe you guys been doing this for 25 years. Oh, baby.
Now, this is what I call a rooftop party.
We have 25 years experience in roofing and exterior renovations, and we're backed by the best.
Are you ready to get your rooftop party started? Give us a call, 865-524-5888.
Tennessee, Oklahoma. First SEC game for both programs this year. First SEC game ever for Oklahoma. That's coming up on Saturday. Game of the week, and all eyes in college football going to be on this one. And to give us a little bit of the Oklahoma scout, we're going to welcome on from Sooner Scoop, George Stoya. George, really, really do appreciate you taking the time. Right off the top, I'm going to hit you with this one. You know, Heupel played there. Okay, he coached there for 9 years. Then his contract was not renewed. They didn't want him anymore. From your vantage point, what went down between Josh Heupel and Oklahoma? And then a second part to that, how do you think the fan base will react seeing Josh Heupel back in that stadium?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me, guys.
yeah, welcome to it.
Second off, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Look, I think OU fans, for the most part, and I know, you know, people in that program, the athletic department, love Josh Heupel. There's no bad blood there from OU side. In that sense, I think OU fans, the same thing. I think that there's going to be a lot of love for Josh, obviously OU's going to want to win the football game. But I know that they're honoring the 2000 national champion team during the game. I believe there'll be some sort of video tribute that I'm sure will include Josh Heupel in it. I would assume that's going to get a standing ovation from the Oklahoma crowd. Now, in terms of what happened with Josh, back in, whatever year that was, 2014, I think it was a sense of, Bob and him, Bob Stoops and him had a disagreement in terms of what kind of offense they wanted to run. Obviously, they had a really down year in 2014, coming off a huge win over Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. A year prior to that, the fan base was upset. And I think that Oklahoma felt like they had to make a move. Now, you look at how that played out. I would say in the end, it worked out for both parties. Oklahoma went on to hire Lincoln Riley, and obviously he came in and did an unbelievable job as an offensive coordinator. Say what you will, as a head coach, he won a lot of football games at Oklahoma. I think is one of the best offensive minds in all of football. So it worked out in that standpoint. And I think for Josh, he went out and proved himself as a coach. I think that it probably helped him with his motivation, went out and proved a lot of people wrong, including a lot of people at Oklahoma wrong in the way that his career has turned out as a football coach. So I think in the end, I heard Josh's comments today during his press conference and said that, he wouldn't be where he is now at Tennessee without what happened at Oklahoma and everything that went down. I think that there's a lot of people that wish it would have gone a different way and that it didn't end in the way that it did in terms of him essentially being fired at his alma mater. But I do think that, 10 years now, it's kind of crazy that it is exactly 10 years from when that happened. I think everybody looks back and says it worked out for everyone.
George, how ready is this fan base? It feels like we've been talking about this game all offseason. It's been a national storyline all offseason, SEC Media Days. First game in the SEC against a pretty high caliber opponent in Tennessee. It's going to be a home game, obviously, for Oklahoma. How energized, how amped up is this fan base ready to kick off this new era?
They're super pumped. You look at the history of big games at Oklahoma, there hasn't been a ton in recent history in Norman. They've had some good teams, whether it's a highly ranked TCU team or, a scrappy Iowa State team comes to town. But when you talk about, blue blood programs, major programs in college football coming to Norman, really, you look back at the 2016 Ohio State game, that game was a huge one leading up to it, but OU had also lost already that season to Houston in the season opener, so there wasn't as much juice. Oklahoma wasn't as good that year. You look back at the 2012 Notre Dame game, that was the last time College Game Day was in Norman. Oklahoma wasn't great that year at that time. I think they only had maybe one loss in Notre Dame. That was the year that they went to the national title game, and then you have to go back to, 2008, the Texas Tech game. I think Texas Tech was number one or number two in the country at that point coming to Norman. And so I think this crowd is really juiced up. That's been a big question around here in Norman, is that the crowds haven't been, they've sold out and they've, they fill out the stadium in every game, but have they been impactful like they used to be, 10, 15, 20 years ago when Oklahoma was really rolling? The answer is no. And I think a large part of that is quality opponents really haven't come through town as much. Playing in the Big 12, you didn't have those major programs. Yeah, Oklahoma State and Bedlam was always a big game, but there was years that those Oklahoma State teams weren't as good. And so I think that this fan base is ready to have a big time opponent come into town. I will say, though, I don't think the fan base is super confident in this Oklahoma team right now coming into this game.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is kind of where is this fan base with this team? Is it more hope that they can, get going offensively, or is it more, hey, we're really good defensively and they're going to pull the offense along till they get better? Or is it one of those, I just got a lot of injuries and it is what it is? What do you think this Oklahoma team is right now after 3 weeks of seeing them play?
They're leaning on the defense. You're exactly right. I think that that's kind of the perspective right now, is just get to the bye week in a couple weeks before OU Texas and figure out a way to win some football games. And, I think that the expectations aren't super high for this game. Now, Oklahoma fans expect to win every game. That's sure. The reality here in Norman. They want to win every football game, and anything less is not up to standard. Now, I think that they also know that this Tennessee football team is one of the best in the country. They're playing as well as anybody right now, have a lot of talent, going to be probably one of, if not the most talented team Oklahoma faces this year. And it's also just not a great matchup for this Oklahoma team and where they're at right now in terms of the injury situation on the offensive line. I mean, I think this Tennessee defensive line is the best in the country, so it's going to be the best that Oklahoma faces all season. And so it's a tall task for this team offensively this week. But I think that there is some hope that, okay, what if Oklahoma and this defense can maybe create some turnovers, create some missteps by a guy like Nico, who I know has been really good and super talented, but he is a young guy and he hasn't played in an environment quite like this. So I think the hope is, okay, let's see if Oklahoma can just hang around. Can they create a couple turnovers, get some short fields, maybe make a special teams play, even though special teams hasn't been great so far this year. I think that that's the hope coming into this and really the next couple of weeks, because as big as this game is here in Norman, they really need to go win on the road at Auburn a week from now and at least get into the bye week at 4-1. Maybe you get a little healthier, especially on the offensive line and at wide receiver, the two spots that they've really struggled. So I think that that's where everyone is with this football team right now, is just try and get through these next couple of weeks. Maybe you can pull one off against Tennessee, like I said, getting some turnovers and leaning on your defense. But I think it's also next week going on the road for the first time in the SEC. They have to go win that football game too.
George, I mean, Tennessee is – everybody talks about, you know, Nico and spreading it out and throwing it all over the place. But they've rushed for 1,009 yards in three games. They've run the football really effectively. Conversely, Oklahoma has been good against the run. I admit, I don't know how good Temple and Houston and Tulane are in terms of running the football. But what do you see out of that matchup? And do you think Oklahoma feels like they can stop the run with their base front without having to commit a bunch of extra people and not give some of those one-on-one opportunities in the spread stuff that Tennessee does? What do you think the Sooners are in terms of defending the run?
It's their best thing they do right now, probably on the entire team. I think defending the run has been extremely good. Like you said, they haven't played a lot of quality opponents, so how good is it actually? I think we're going to find out. But they've been really good on the interior defensive line. You know, they went out and they got Dominic Williams from TCU, the big defensive tackle transfer. He's been really good. He's a run stopper. Jaden Jackson, a true freshman, has come in and played a lot of football for Oklahoma to start. He's been really good. DJ Terry, as you guys know, from Tennessee, playing a lot of snaps, playing his best football of his career right now. He's going to play a lot. And then they got a guy in Grayson Halton on the defensive interior that has really stepped up. Third-year guy is really starting to hit his stride, and they feel like he's maybe their best defensive tackle right now. And then at linebacker, I mean, it starts with Danny Stutzman. He has just been a monster so far. Probably Oklahoma's best player through the first three games, which should be expected. I mean, he's a guy that would have been drafted early last year, decides to come back for his senior year, wants to play in the SEC. This is why he came back, is for games like this one, and he's been incredible so far. And you look at the other linebackers, they've been rotating a lot of guys. The guys that were very highly recruited, Kobe McKenzie, a five-star linebacker, got his first start of his career last week. Kip Lewis, another guy that's played a lot of football. So they feel really good at the linebacker spot in their front seven. On the edge is where it gets a little dicey. I think that that's somewhere that you saw Tulane hit some outside zone. Oklahoma wasn't able to contain the edge as well in that game until late. They've got some young guys. They've got, Ethan Downs, he's a senior. He's somebody that has played good football, but isn't a huge difference maker. R. Mason Thomas really came on last week, had three sacks in the game. But I think they feel really good against the run. And the secondary, super experienced, but there have been some plays this year that guys have gotten behind the defense. And, Tulane, Temple, Houston just don't have the quarterbacks to complete those passes and just have missed some guys deep down the field. I wonder if that's a spot that maybe Tennessee can exploit in this game.
We got George Stoya on from Soonerscoop.com. George, you mentioned a couple minutes ago about the injury situation. I know a couple offensive linemen are banged up. A couple receivers haven't played. I know there's a starting defensive back that's been missing some time. Can you give us what you know now early in the week, kind of what the injury prognosis is going into this game for those players?
Yeah, so the big one is Nick Anderson at wide receiver. Last year, led the team in touchdowns, had 10 touchdowns a year ago. Has not played yet this year. Believe it's a soft tissue injury. He suited up last week for the first time, and it looked like, going through warmups, he was going to play. Ends up not playing. We don't know if that's a situation of they just wanted to hold him out for the game and save him for, obviously, Tennessee. But I think he's going to give it a go this week. I think that they've been kind of holding him back, knowing they could get through the first couple games of the season without him. And that could be a huge difference maker in the passing game. That's somewhere they've really struggled, is the vertical game. And I think having a big receiver like Nick Anderson could really help him up front. I don't know if they're going to get anybody back. If they get anyone back up front, I would think it's going to be Branson Hickman, the center that I mentioned earlier. He's got a high ankle sprain that he got in the first game, I think on the second series. So he's been out the last couple weeks. I think he's about 50-50 right now. High ankle sprains, those are tough to come back from quickly. I don't think he's been practicing. We'll see if he practices this week. But that's the one guy on the offensive line that I think you could maybe see. He might try to give it a go. Jake Taylor at right tackle. I just think he's got too many things going on. I don't think he'll be back this week. And then on the defensive side of the football, Kendall Dolby, they're starting Cheetah, which is basically the nickel spot. He was out this past week with a concussion. I anticipate he will be back. He's one of their better players, big-time playmaker. They like to bring him in a lot of different blitz packages, can also drop back and cover a lot as well. So I think he'll be back. And then at corner, Gentry Williams, who has been a starter for them the last couple years, he's banged up, and I don't anticipate him being back. He's had a shoulder issue, and they're really deep at corner. They play a lot of different guys, so I don't think that's a huge loss. But I think at this point, I wouldn't expect him to play come Saturday.
George, much has been made out in the offseason about the matchup of these two quarterbacks, highly rated coming out of high school, in the same class. Who was number one? Who was number two? You know, type deal. Throw Arch in there. You know, that was the ballyhooed quarterback class. And obviously, Jackson Arnold's dealt with injuries at the receiver position, at the offensive line position. As a young quarterback, how do you think he's handled the hand he's been dealt through three games with all the injuries? Where do you see his growth from game one to game three, heading into game four, as he's navigated being the starting quarterback at Oklahoma?
I think he's handled it about as well as he could. You know, I put it out there the other day. In his four career starts, he's had, I think, four different centers. He's had eight different variations of an offensive line. I think three or four different left tackles, a lot of different guys rotating at right tackle. Like, that's hard as a young quarterback to really trust in your offensive line when it's switching around so much. And then you look at receiver, and that was a position that, you know, Oklahoma felt really good about coming into the season. They lose Jaden Gibson, who blows out his knee on like the second day of fall camp. Jahlil Farouk, who was one of their best wide receivers a year ago, he breaks his foot on the second the first possession of the season. And so now all of a sudden you're left out there, and he's throwing balls to true freshmen who I think can be good players eventually, but it's really tough. Guys running maybe wrong routes, not being in the right spot. You know, guys not getting open, the offensive line not holding up long enough. And I know some of that sounds like excuses, and Jackson Arnold is a five-star and he has to make better plays, but I do think that they're valid excuses at this point. Like, it's really tough on a young quarterback when nothing is coming easy. They're unable to run the football very effectively right now, so they have to figure that out, because I think that's one thing that can help a young quarterback is being able to just run the football efficiently. That has not been the case. I know that's something that Tennessee has been able to lean on. I'm sure it's helped Nico a lot when you can turn around and hand the ball off and you're averaging, you know, 8 yards per carry. Oklahoma just has not been able to do that. So I think Jackson's handled it pretty well. I think that his ability to run the football, scramble, get out of the pocket has really helped him. We saw that this last week against Tulane. His legs were the X factor. That was the reason they ended up winning that game, is his ability to escape the pocket and do some different things in the run game. So I think that you've seen his decision-making improve. You know, his decision-making against Temple and Houston just wasn't great. He missed a couple guys, was slow on his progressions. I thought that changed a lot against Tulane. I think some of that was what they were doing offensively. They made it a little bit more simple for him in the passing game, but they don't really have a huge threat in the vertical passing game right now. Teams aren't really threatened by that, and that needs to change this week if they want to have a chance against Tennessee. And that's really where I think Jackson excels as a passer, is throwing the ball down the field, and we just haven't seen that yet. So I think Jackson's going to get better as the season goes on. But he really needs these guys to get healthy, and he needs some of these young guys to step up and become playmakers.
George, good stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Tennessee fans are going to be really, really looking forward to this game, obviously, just like Oklahoma fans. For those Tennessee fans that want to get some more inside scoop on the Oklahoma Sooners, what do you guys have coming up over there this week over at Soonerscoop.com?
Yeah, lots of good stuff. Obviously, a lot of team-oriented stuff on our side if you want to get to know more about the team. But I'm also working on a big Josh Heupel feature. Talked to a lot of his former teammates here at Oklahoma that I know are still rooting for him. They're going to be rooting for Oklahoma come Saturday, but obviously are excited about his success. And you know, his legacy here at Oklahoma still lives on. You know, he's the last quarterback to win a national title here at the school, so there's a lot of love for him. But there's also some things – and I won't reveal everything just yet, but there's still some things that even the team does and the quarterback position does at Oklahoma that Josh started, you know, 25 years ago when he came to town.
Yeah, good stuff. Look forward to reading that later on this week over at Soonerscoop.com. George, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Great stuff there. Good to listen to George Stoya on his perspective of Oklahoma, this team, the storylines coming into this week for Josh Heupel, all that and more. You can go check out more of his work and, of course, their perspective on the Scout on Tennessee over at Sooner Scoop. Austin Price, Rob Lewis, Brent Hubbs, I am Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys, as always, for joining us here on the VolQuest podcast. Brent, we have a great special going on right now for this big game. Promo code GOVOLS, and you can get 50% off annual subscriptions over at VolQuest.com. No better time to join us right now as SEC play begins.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, this season is going to be a huge one for Tennessee. It's going to be a great ride. This is a talented team that's going to have a chance in every game that it plays. We're going to cover it from every single angle possible. And so you don't want to miss out on all the coverage, all the conversation on the message board and everything that we do at VolQuest.com. So be sure and check out the promo. Take full advantage of it. It's real simple. Get signed up. Hit the promo code GOVOLS. You'll get 50% off an annual membership. It's well worth the money. I promise you that. You will not be disappointed. So check us out.
All right. And as always, a big thank you to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions for being the presenting sponsor of the show. 865-524-5888. Online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Thanks as always for joining us, guys, here on the VolQuest podcast. We'll be back on Thursday for the mailbag.
You've been listening to the VolQuest podcast every week here on VolQuest.